SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Come back! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Level 3. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. Sirius XM Channel 159 is our boy Mick Aussie still in the chat. I saw he was in the chat earlier. Are you with us, Mick? Yeah, Mick is still here. So, shout out to our boy Pat Foster. And Pat Foster just did the last update, and he does a good job with the updates, Pat. He does add, like, different sports, and he's conscientious of the sports world. I like Pat's work, so we're not coming at Pat, and I give him credit for opening up. I give him credit for opening up with the NHL draft. Except, as our boy Mick Aussie knows, Regina is not Regina. And, like, the best way of putting it is Regina rhymes with vagina. So it is, it's Mick's favorite word, actually. Like, Mick loves saying Regina, and he always gets, like, a crooked grin on his face whenever he says Regina. Think like Donald Trump says China, like Gina. So when I heard Pat Foster saying, hey, really good of Pat, though. I give him credit. This is where, like, you know, I know it would eat him alive, Matthias, because he went the distance. He easily could have just said Connor Bedard was selected first overall by the Chicago Blackhawks. So he dug down deeper and he said where Connor Bedard played hockey. Except it's called Regina, not Regina. So we give him,
you gotta give him
A for effort.
Attempt.
Yeah, A for effort. Bravery. Next time, just go on YouTube and just punch in Regina Saskatchewan and see what pops up.
Gabe, you're turning more Hawaiian on me as we go along in our days, Gabe. You're turning Hawaiian on me now, bro. It's like you remind me of guys that used to call me on the air when I used to say Honolulu when I was younger in my young Hawaii radio days. And all the old uncles would say, it's Honolulu, Matias. Not Honolulu. It's Ho. Like Ho. Honolulu, not Honolulu.
Yeah, I don't like it. Even you say Hawaii, right? I got to get that little, you know what I mean?
You got it down, Gabe. You got it down.
Exactly, I do now. I do. And I used Coach to call Jeff it like the white guy. I used to call it the straight guy, what, Hawaii? Like, you know what I mean? I used to do that. Honolulu. Like you said, no, Honolulu.
Oh, man, I've had some old grandpas calling me Gabe and destroying me, trying to teach me grammar and how to say proper Hawaiian words. We get down over there, man. I've gotten some lessons, especially when I
did I get it. I respect it.
Don't mess up a son's basketball name when you're doing PA at a basketball game. You know, you got to get the Kavika, not the Kawikas with a W. You got to say Kavika with a V because W is over there or with a V. So you got to get that down. And if you don't get that right, you know, their dad's going to go down there and tell you, what's up, man? You better pronounce my name right. I got his great-great-grandfather's rolling around in his grave right now pissed off if you don't get that right.
Yeah, I just love that. The Regina patch is good. I know I follow Pat Foster on Twitter. I just don't know what his Twitter is. So I got to send him a DM, though. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Gabe Morency. The dog days of summer. Nothing happening. Nothing going on. You know, let's talk NFL football. Oh, wait. We had a freaking perfect game tonight, the 24th perfect game in Major League Baseball history. Awesome stuff. And who was it? Domingo Germán, of all people. I'm telling you, man, we said it before, we're going to say it again. You get into no-hitters and this type of stuff, and it's never the player that you think it's going to be. And in fact, Germán gave up 10 runs in his last start on June 22nd. He gave up 10 runs to the Seattle Mariners. Obviously, he's the first player in Major League Baseball history to throw a perfect game after giving up double-digit runs in his previous start. Wow. And what a pretty cool first Dominican player to have a perfect game. First Dominican pitcher. Just the third non-American pitcher to have a perfect game. The other ones were King Felix Hernandez from Venezuela and El Presidente Dennis Martinez from Nicaragua. So now the Dominican Republic, a great baseball country, now has a perfect game as a feather in their cap. So congratulations to her, man. Pretty cool to see as we, you know, we tuned in late. We were raging off the start of the show, and I looked up, and I'm like, all right, let's see how this plays out, where we're going with this. And then, boom, pretty much just as we were starting the show, the story broke, and we saw it live, and then, boom. You know, hey, we weren't there. Next best thing, at least we saw it. These perfect games are few and far between. They don't happen a lot, all right? You know, no hitters are sort of rare. You know, they'll happen, but, like, you know, the perfect games, to put in perspective, man, how long it's been in between perfect games. King Felix Hernandez did it when he threw his perfect game. It was in 2012. ...3,969 days between perfect games. Second longest gap in Major League Baseball history between perfect games, going back to 68 and 81. The late night anchor, Matt Reklaas. This is Sports Rage.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
I was hoping you and your friends could tell me something about baseball strategy.
The only thing I know about strategy is that whatever the manager does, it's wrong. Unless it works, in which case he's a button pusher.
Let's roll. We'll talk some baseball. One of the best in the business, Jay Jaffe, will join us from Fangraphs. Great, obviously one of the baseball Bibles, Fangraphs. So I am Gabriel Morenci. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates, wherever you may be kicking it this evening, including San Diego, California. Unfortunately, the Friars screwed me over tonight. I had a same game parlay, Blake Snell over 7.5 strikeouts, which he got. I should have just bet that. But I thought he'd be good enough and that, you know, Pittsburgh suck enough that San Diego could win this game tonight. Yeah, Pittsburgh are what, like 2-12 in their last 14 games coming into tonight's game. So it is what it is. San Diego blow, and their season isn't over yet, but it's starting to fade. And yeah, at some point, instead of buying, this team might just become sellers and realize, you know what, this didn't work. Let's retool. All right, we'll get back to baseball. I wanted to get to this story. I talked about this the other day. It's one of the wildest stories ever. In Las Vegas, man charged with hustling the Circa out of over $1 million. We talked about it, and I didn't, you know, when the story broke. It's funny because the mugshot of the dude that did it, he looks exactly like I thought he would. I know that sounds crazy, but like I should be like a profiler type thing. Like, you know what I mean? I swear to God, like if they would have asked me, dude, what does he look like? I would have said, I don't know, he's got his black hair probably. Probably like a goatee type thing. You know. And lo and behold, like I swear to God, like if you put me on a lie detector test, he looks exactly like I thought. Like if you would have just like randomly put like 10 guys in a lineup and it would have said, which one of these guys do you think just did this scam? I would have said him. That's the guy right there. So Eric Gutierrez Martinez is accused of theft over $100,000 in connection with an alleged scam on June 17th that bilked the Las Vegas Circa Resort Casino out of $1.1 million. So we told the story before, but now the police report has been released, and it's in more detail, courtesy of the Las Vegas Review-Journal, which is a great newspaper. So here's the gist of it. The Circa was hustled out of more than $1 million after a so-called imposter deceived an employee into believing she was delivering bags of cash to two men at four different locations on the behalf of Derek Stevens. This story is so whacked and obviously very suspicious now. I can, there's one thing to get hustled, you know, and I'm sorry, sir, they impersonated you, and you know. But listen to this story. So Circa lost $1.17 million on June 17th, which is like last Saturday when I was at the F1 race, that saw somebody posing as the owner of the hotel. Eric Gutierrez Martinez, who lives with his aunt in an East Las Vegas trailer park, was arrested and found with a bag with $850,000 cash bundled with Circa logos written all over it. Real smart, dude. All right, Circa, which opened in 2020, has been, you know, in the news because of Derek Stevens, and they're very flashy and all this. And Derek says, I love a good PR story. This isn't one of them. Police say that a similar scam was played out locally at another place and at another state casino. The police did not reveal where. The event is very similar to a previous incident which occurred at another property here in Clark County as well as in another state. All right, so here we go. According to the arrest report, a casino cage employee at Circa got a call from a person claiming to be Derek Stevens at 4:30 a.m. All right, so number one, this doesn't raise a red flag to you. Number one, why wouldn't the owner just come to the cage? Number two, why would the owner be calling you at 4:30 in the morning on a Friday night? That person told the employee that the fire department would need a payment for fire safety devices by Monday, which was 2 days away. The employee also got text messages, believing them to come direct from her supervisor. She informed police that she was told over the phone to take $320,000 from the casino cage. And deliver it to a location on Charleston Boulevard and Rancho Drive. So you don't think this is weird, lady, that you get a call at 4:30 in the morning, someone telling you, can you take $320,000 out and meet me in the parking lot of a gas station on Charleston? It's not clear who the woman thought she was taking instructions from, but she believed she was delivering the money on the behalf of the Circa owners and management. She was told to deposit the money into a Bitcoin ATM. So, lady, at this point, you don't figure it out, according to the report. But the machine wouldn't let her make any more deposits after she made three $1,900 deposits. She was then told to bring the remaining money, $314,000, to a man at a Circle K on Value View Boulevard and Alta Drive. Just for the record, as somebody who lived in Las Vegas and knows Vegas extremely well, I used to go to Circle K, and I used to be scared to death. And I've lived in, like, bad neighborhoods and everything, and I wasn't about it. It was a naked city in Vegas. It's a horrible part of town. And I was like, oh, God, I got to go and get a soda, but I might get shot, but all right, let's go. Swear to God, like, Circle Ks are all nuts. They are in Vegas. The employee was then told to take $350,000 from the casino cage and bring it to a different man again, whom she was told is a Circa attorney at an auto zone on Las Vegas Boulevard North and North Nellis. Then she was told to bring $500,000 from one cage to the same man she gave the $359,000 to. But this time, they met at an IHOP on East Craig Road. When the employee returned to Circa, security then detained her and police were called. She was not arrested. Metro detectives watched surveillance video from the IHOP and were ultimately able to get a license plate number on a Nissan van used by the man who took the money from the employee. That led detectives to a trailer park on Nellis, just south of Las Vegas Boulevard, which led them to Gutierrez Martinez. According to the police report, police executed a warrant at Gutierrez Martinez's home and discovered $849,900 in cash. The employee then identified Gutierrez Martinez, the man she gave money to, as an IHOP and at the AutoZone. Police are now searching for the man that she gave $314,000 to at the Circle K. So this lady, like, is really this naive and she got played that much that she's not in on this and she's not arrested? As I stated, mistakes can be made. Mistakes can be made in the world. We all make mistakes. A little bit different making a mistake and delivering $314,000 to an IHOP at 4:30 in the morning on a Friday night in Las Vegas. You don't find that to be strange. You live in Las Vegas. You work in Las Vegas at a casino knowing that it is the most crime-riddled, hustler, shark-infested sea in America. And you don't find it strange that you're meeting some dude named Eric Gutierrez in a AutoZone parking lot? And bring me another $500,000. I don't know, dude. I don't know the full details here, but I'm not buying any of this. Like, I'm rattling this lady hard if I'm the cops. I'm basically just going to bring her into her room and tell her, all right, what the F really happened, because we're charging you, point blank. So you better start talking, right? And or maybe she's the sweetest woman in the world, and she got played. And listen, the fact that she got text messages from supervisors and stuff, clearly there's someone on the inside that knew the operation and knew that they would be able to pull this off somehow. So they need to get to the bottom of this. But I got to say, either she's in on it, which I guess she's not. Otherwise, they probably would have arrested her immediately. And or you're a sweet lady, but we can't have you working in a casino cage. You can be the head of our community service and like philanthropy because you like giving things away.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What's the dumbest bet I ever heard of?
I disagree.
I'm just blown away by this story here. I'm thinking here, like, come on, man. Listen, just because it's in the newspaper doesn't mean they're going to tell us everything either, right? I mean, this is an ongoing investigation. There's another $359,000 out there right now still. So certainly, listen, that stuff's insured anyways. But Circa is going to get the money back. They already recovered $850,000 of it. But one of those 359, whatever, was a little confusing. There was three different payments, whatnot, at those different locations. So there's one of the payments is still out there. $359,000 is missing. But you're telling me that some 23-year-old dude that lives with his mother in a trailer park in East Vegas was able to come up with this scam? This is me, Matthias, is LVPD here. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. So you're telling me, kid, that you came up with this, that you somehow randomly got this girl's number and randomly had the supervisor's number and were able to manipulate the phones and able to text employees there, and they actually legitimately thought it was coming from their supervisors? Where'd you get her number from? There's no way in hell you're smart enough to figure out that this girl works at a cage and you're going to dig information and you got her. Come on. Like, I'm interrogating a kid right now. I'd be like, come on. Like, you really think I effing believe this? Number two, you're too stupid to do this. All right. So if you were so smart, you wouldn't be living in this trailer park with your mom. So number two, don't tell me you're smart enough to come up with this on your own. All right. Like, seriously, there's no way in hell someone inside that building didn't know this. Somebody obviously knew, listen, this lady's naive and or dumb, and, you know, she can be manipulated into believing this. You know, like, it's not random. Like who walked, like, ever, seriously, whoever thought, yeah, I'm going to walk into, like, think about it. Like, yeah, I'm going to walk into a casino and look at someone at the cage, and then I'm going to go to a phone and I'm going to call the cage and tell them to give me $350,000 and meet me at an IHOP? And it worked? Like I said, I have a hard time believing this lady, like, isn't, like, come on. I'm not accusing anybody of anything. It's an ongoing investigation. I don't know her name, so I'm not trying to slander anybody. I'm just speaking out loud here in the sense that, and like I said, Maybe she's not in, you know what I mean? I don't know. The police said, hey, she's not under arrest. She's not under arrest. But also, they can say she's not under arrest and try to, like, bait people into, like, figuring out what the hell happened here. There's just too many things here in which it cannot, it's impossible that it wouldn't have been somebody inside that building that knew that, listen, call at that time, you're going to get this girl. She will, like, you know what I mean? And how did, like I said, it's you know, they're never going to give you all the details fully. It's ongoing, but they said that she and other employees received text messages from people that they believe to be supervisors. So, and I'll tell you what, when I read that, I was like, that was pretty slick, actually, of the people that hustled this and did this, because it's not just her. Right? It's not like, so, you know what I mean? Like, I'm telling, like, if I'm sitting there going, you're telling me that you just are this dumb and you just gave, like, you... Another thing I'm thinking, wouldn't there be a process that, by the way, some employee that makes $20 an hour was not allowed to just walk out of our building with $1.1 million and go to an IHOP? Like, how is this not noticed? You know what I mean? Like I said, there's more questions than answers here still. The locations are the thing that, like, once she was told, like, she should have just, like seriously went back to work and, like, went up to someone and said, sir, I need to talk to, like, somebody. Like, that's, like, right away she should have picked up a phone and said, listen, I got someone calling me and, like, what, you know, I should call the police. Like, I'm just being, like, I'm thinking like an adult. And, like, if I'm working in a casino cage and that happens, the first thing I am doing is I am calling hotel security and I am telling them someone just tried to hustle us out of $250,000 over the phone. Like, it doesn't add up. Like, I'm just speaking out loud in the sense that you can tell us this story and wrap it up, but how is this wrapped up? Like, you know what I mean? So when a guy randomly calls a casino cage and says, give me money, and no, like, it had to, like I said, I'm not accusing anybody of anything, and it's a great property. I'm just, like, from a TV aspect and a cop aspect, I'm thinking, like, this is, like, CSI, like, Las Vegas. I'm like, come on. Like, let's be real. Like I said, too, like, it didn't raise a red flag when they told you to meet you at an AutoZone parking lot at 4:30 in the morning, lady? So the head and a billionaire that the owner of your casino is, like, meeting fire chief marshals at Circle K parking lots in North Vegas? Dude, like, come on, man. And they just randomly called you out of the blue. And you just said, because someone called me. It's like, Matthias, it's like someone called your house right now and said, listen, I need you to take your TV and your computer and everything, and you need to come down and be like, you know what I mean? Like, you work in a casino cage. Another thing is, like, aren't these people trained as into, like, not trust anybody about anything? You know what I mean? Like, not even trust their own family member, like their husband or wife or mother, and say, no, you're not allowed in here. Like, no, you can't touch the money. No. Right? Like, we're talking about millions of dollars. You'd be surprised, though. Like I said, we're going to find out more in a couple of days. Right? There's no way. Like, we're going to find out more in a couple of days. As I said, between the story of, like, meeting the people here and between this guy living in a trailer park, he's 23 years old. What, is he some mastermind genius like that? No. Clearly, my guess is, like I said, and I'm pretty good at this stuff. My guess is if I was the cops, I'd look into this Gutierrez guy and I'd say, all right, who the hell does he know that works at Circa? Relatives, cousins, whatever, uncle, cleaning lady, who does he know on that property? We're going to know now by the end in 5 minutes. I'm giving you, this is the Morency Detective Service here. I'd be telling people, I want to know in the next 10 minutes, who the hell does he, in any connection, how does this guy know anybody in that building? Like, where's his role in this? And another thing is, too, I don't get it. Like, and then the kid gets the money and just puts it in a trailer park at home after. Weird story. Weird story. I'm curious. I'd like to know like the gist of this now. As I stated, if they didn't arrest her, that could be another, you know what I mean? They could know, okay, listen, she's so dumb that she's going to lead us right to whatever this is in a day or two here. Because there is still 350K missing. So it is an ongoing investigation. They're not going to tell everybody everything. Like the Las Vegas Review-Journal just does a good job of investigating. You know, they got the court records and documents and stuff. But doesn't mean that they know the investigation. And I guarantee you, they take this seriously. There's $359,000 missing somewhere in Las Vegas right now. I don't know if they're going to find the money. They're going to find a person, though. They're going to find you. You know, I'm always fascinated by this, though. It's like, I'm going to give this kid credit. Whatever, dude. Like, good, like, I don't know how you did this. But, yeah, you can't question him. He had $850,000 in his trailer. My thing is, kid, if you do this, Matthias, you'd pull this off, bro. This kid right now should be living in Venezuela right now, bro. Point blank. That if you pull a crime like that off, you leave the country immediately. And you go to a non-extraditable sort of, like, country. If you really, like, you know what I mean? Like, you were so smart. Like, if you really were, let's just give the kid credit and say, all right, maybe he was whatever. He pulled this off somehow. Well, you weren't so smart just to go back to your trailer, right, and put the money there. Why didn't you bury the money, number one, get rid of the money? I said a lot of questions about this, but whatever. The casino's insured. But I'm sure there's a lot of people out there thinking, man, if I would have known it was that easy, I'd just call. hey. Can you meet me at a McDonald's with $339,000? I got to meet the fire marshal. Can you hook me up, please? We talked about it. Vegas, man, the hustles that are going on there. I was thinking about that for the Formula One weekend. I'm like, oh, God, that's going to be the hustle of all hustle weekends. That's going to be the kingpin of all hustles. You got the Super Bowl going to Vegas, too? Basically, in today's day and age, I think, listen, if you're bold, if you're really bold, you can pull things off. You'd think, no, you can't do that. Now, you kind of can. You know what I'm saying? But you won't get away with it. Remember those dudes that broke out of jail a couple of years ago? David Sweat and the other guy? There they were on the run for like 6 weeks or whatever. They actually made it, and they actually, it was a big deal. And same thing with those guys. Like, they planned it so well from the inside. They hooked up with one of the woman security guards. They played it to her emotions. Like, you know what I mean? The guy slept with her, made her, you know what I mean? Got her to, like, give them stuff, got them, like, out of there. They did everything, except when they got out, they didn't know where to go. It's like, yeah, good for you. It's like, you did all of this, but after that, guys, you should have had that last sort of thing. Okay, and we're going to do this after. Instead of actually escape and then head towards the Canadian border.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Sports Race Late Night continues. I am Gabriel Morenzi, Sirius XM Channel 159 on the Sports Grid Radio Network. Shout out to all of our AM radio affiliates wherever you may be kicking it with us this evening. Let's talk some baseball with Jay Jaffe, senior writer, Fangraph, steps up and in. Jay, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
Hey, sure. Good to be here.
So there's so much I want to throw at you. Let me start off with Luis Arraez and his pursuit of 400. How amazing is it that he's actually lasted this long flirting with a number that hasn't been topped since 1941?
It's pretty incredible. I mean, you know, guy's hitting .399 right now. You know, you just, obviously you don't see that. We haven't seen it in our lifetime. And It's been since 1994, Tony Gwynn, where we even saw somebody hit 390. So this is pretty special. And, you know, when you think about the offensive environment today with batting averages, you know, generally pretty low, I believe the league average is 248. It's really incredible just how far Arraez is above that.
That's what's really, that's what's so incredible about this. And not to take anything away from home runs, but to me, this is more impressive than if somebody, you know, when he slugged 75 home runs or something in this modern era of shortened fences, fastballs, launch angles, and all this. You know, just to see the art of hitting. And, you know, it's not like the Marlins are on national television every night or anything like that. But when you watch him, when you watch him at the plate, for me, what catches my eye, man, is just the bat speed. Incredible bat speed. Like, you know, what makes him so good in your opinion? Is it the eye that he sees the ball so well? Obviously he does, but man, that bat speed and how quickly he gets the bat around, and he'll place the ball anywhere too. It's so fun to watch.
Yeah, it's the speed and it's, I mean, the control too. I mean, you know, you're talking about a guy who just has just elite contact numbers here. You know, he's making contact with 95% of pitches in the strike zone. And that's pretty consistent with his career. He's only striking out 5% of the time. You know, it's just,
that's amazing in the modern era. That's amazing.
I think it's a mistake to you know, conflate what he's doing. It's not the most valuable thing in the world, but it is certainly entertaining. I mean, you know, we don't have enough hits in today's game, and you know, there's a variety of reasons, including the high strikeout rates, the swinging for the fences, and whatever. And here's a guy, he doesn't hit the ball very hard. I mean, he's like barreling the ball just like 2% of the time here, hitting it above 95 miles an hour just 23% of the time. Those are really low rates, you know, for your for your heavy hitters, but he's just, you know, dinking and dunking them into, you know, into the outfield, left and right, and it's entertaining.
Jay Jaffe kicking with us. Jay, let me ask you, with the Major League Baseball draft rapidly approaching, the College Baseball World Series just concluded. Super fun. We're seeing, you know, the level of college baseball has never been better as far as the quality of play and fan interest. So everybody is talking about Paul Skeens right now, and of course you've got Dylan Cruz. So everyone's thinking, all right, they go 1-2. Pittsburgh got the top pick. I wanted to get your take on this. Are you part of the club that, you know what, you take the hitter, you know, pitchers get injured, you look at the history of big time college pitchers, and there's been more failures than there has been successes. What's your theory? Not so much on these two players. I'll get your opinion on the players, but are you one of these guys that's sort of apprehensive of taking a pitcher first overall?
Yeah, I'm a bit nervous about that. I'm not a huge draft guy. I'm not a huge prospect guy. I do tend to think that, you know, college pitchers especially are, you know, they're prone to overuse, especially when you get these high pitch counts in the College World Series. So I'm a little wary of it. You have to take the risk sooner or later in draft pitching. There's no question about that, because if you don't develop your own pitching.
I like where you're going with that, though. You take your risk, but not with a guy that threw 243 pitches in 9 days, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think you want somebody who maybe has, you know, hasn't been worked quite as hard. You're probably looking more for, you know, the traits of you know, a guy who maybe has a fastball and you can teach some other stuff, has a projectable frame, things like that. If I were any good at this part of the game, I'd be working for a team here as opposed to sitting at my desk. But I do think, you know.
Well, that's why I didn't ask you. I wasn't saying, all right, give me a scouting report on these guys. No, I was just sort of philosophically as far as the top pick, you know.
I do tend to think that all else being equal, you probably take the hitter because he's easier to develop.
And he's a great defensive player too, as we saw. Watching the tournament. So let me ask you about a player here that was trending on Twitter earlier in the week, and you know, that's the modern world that we're in right now. But he brought this upon himself by talking so much when he was in the league, actually, in my opinion. And I'm talking about Alek Manoah. So what's your opinion? What's your take on this? That when they sent him down, they didn't send him down to Buffalo. They, you know what I mean? They went all the way back. So to the Blue Jays complex in Florida with their rookies and 17 to 19 year olds. He gets lit up, gives up 11 runs, which to me is crazy that they kept him in the game just knowing that it would become a national story. I'm not so much concerned about those numbers that he gave up, but what's your opinion on Manoa and how things have fallen apart as quickly as they have, and is there a light at the end of the tunnel for him?
Yeah, look, regardless of what he said, I mean, like, we young pitchers, they're unpredictable. I mean, you know, it's really tough. This was a guy who obviously was one of the best pitchers in the league last year, but he's fallen apart. I don't know whether it's I suspect it's mostly mechanical here, but you know, it's as to why he's down in the complex league. I think that's basically because you're not really concerned with wins and losses at the complex league. Even in AAA, there's more pressure to win than there is player development. They're much further away from the majors. The point is to work on the skills. And when you're talking about Manoa, you're not really that concerned with the individual stats from an outing. You want him to work on stuff, and obviously the 11 runs against a team of 19-year-olds doesn't look good. But remember, pitcher development is pitcher corrections, they're non-linear. He could be just one grip tweak, one mechanical tweak away from putting it all together. I don't have the Statcast numbers in front of me. I don't think anybody does here, besides the Blue Jays. But it's a matter of, obviously it didn't come together for him yet, but this is where you want him to be if you're having to basically strip him down to the chassis here and figure out what's wrong and then build him back up rather than sending him to AAA Buffalo and having him think he's just one or two tweaks and one or two starts away from getting back to Toronto. He's a long ways off here, and this is going to be a season without salvaging some good here once they take a closer look at him.
What do you think of the Toronto Blue Jays? Is there a next level? And ironically enough, I didn't mean that. That's their hashtag, actually. So is there a next level with this team, or is this just sort of who they are? They're not the only one. San Diego, a lot of similarities to me between San Diego and Toronto, but a lot of teams, they have a hard time situational hitting. The Jays are not very good at it. Runners in scoring position, not very good at it. They're battling for that playoff spot, the wild card right now in a crowded American League. What's your take on the Jays? Do they turn a corner, or are they who we think they are? To quote Dennis Green,
I think they're capable of more. I mean, you look at the numbers for guys like George Springer and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. They're not hitting up to their full capabilities here, and I think there's reason to believe that they can do better. I mean, there've been nagging injuries for both of those guys. Guerrero is actually hitting the ball much harder than his stat line suggests. He's only slugging 447, but his expected slugging percentage based on how hard he's hitting the ball is 547, a full 100 points. You'd expect some positive regression here. He's just hitting the ball so hard. So I expect better things out of the Blue Jays here as we move to the second half of the season. Likewise, Springer. I think, they probably are going to need, some help from outside when you consider, that they don't know if they're going to get anything out of Manoa for the rest of the year. But, the good news is, I mean, Jose Berríos was a mess last year, and he's been pretty good this year. Yeah. Kevin Gausman is good, is still good.
Chris Kikuchi Bassett gives them something, which they weren't expecting.
Sorry, say that again?
I said Kikuchi hasn't been terrible either, right? That's been an added bonus for them.
I think they've got the talent to do this, but they are going to need another starting pitcher. Like everybody else, they'll probably need some other fixes here and there. But they're right in the wild card hunt here. I mean, I don't know if anybody's going to catch the Rays in that division. Even the Orioles were just four games back. I'm not sure I believe that they have the mix to catch the Rays, but you look at how banged up the Yankees are and all their problems. I think the Blue Jays are in better shape than them, even though they're half a game below them in the standings.
I was going to ask you on the way out. We just got about a minute and a half or two with you. We appreciate your time. Jay Jaffe from Fangraphs with us. As far as the Yankees, listen, they've been treading water, and they've been kind of lucky that teams around them, no one, if you look at, you know what I mean, no one's run away with anything in that pack of those wild card teams. But it doesn't sound good as far as Judge is concerned. I know they have Stanton back right now. Their schedule has kind of been favorable for them. You figure it's got to catch up to them eventually. So I guess, you know, long-winded way of asking you, do you think the New York Yankees make the playoffs? Like, if we look, because I don't think Baltimore are falling off, like, anytime soon. So I think they're going to be one of the wild cards. Then we've got the Yankees, the Angels, the Blue Jays, and the Astros, let's say. So four teams, two spots. Are the Yankees one of them, do you think, in the end?
You know, I picked against them yesterday in my Fangraphs chat. I see so many problems with this team, and it's, a lot of it has to do with roster construction. I mean, you know, they've got so much invested in aging players, and they've tried to get Stanton going. They've tried to get Josh Donaldson going. Donaldson's underlying batted ball numbers are pretty good. Stanton's aren't what they should be. You know, they've obviously. There's no replacing Aaron Judge, but these guys have just been ghosts offensively for, you know, since Judge went down in early June. And even if they get Carlos Rodon back and, you know, upgrades the rotation here, they've got to get better on, you know, better on the offense. This is not the Bronx Bombers here. And, you know, if they're going to be without Aaron Judge for, you know, several more weeks, I don't see how they stay in there unless they've got two or three guys stepping up to produce some runs.
And finally, in closing, Shohei Ohtani, I see that, so he's hit home runs in three of his last four starts, and multiple home runs, but three of his last four starts, okay, doesn't surprise me. I know how awesome he is. What blew my mind is that Rick Wise did this in 1973. Like, I'm like, damn. I'm like, wow, this guy Rick Wise was lighting it up, bro, in 1973, Jay.
Yeah, he's the guy who hit two home runs while pitching a no-hitter, so which might be about as good a day as a
player. That's as cool as it gets.
Yeah, that's as good a day as a player can have. But, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, boy, he can't say enough about what he's doing. I mean, it's we're looking at a guy who's probably now got a clear shot at his second MVP award in 3 years and taking that into free agency. And the Angels are, I think, you know, they're looking like they could be a playoff team, especially – you know, given the teams that are falling back. I mean, if the Yankees don't make it and if the Astros are on the fringe, yeah, the Angels have a real shot here. You know, they'll need things to go right for them, just as any of these teams will. But I think it'd be really exciting if they made it.
Hey, Jay, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us tonight.
All right, sure thing, dude. Take care.
There's Jay Jaffe, Fangraphs, in the house with us, the Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Thanks to Jay Jaffe, Cam Stewart, Ian Cameron. The Late Night Anger Management Class. So, wow, what a night tonight. NHL Draft NHL Draft continues tomorrow, but the first round is in the books. Domingo Germán threw a perfect game tonight, just the 24th perfect game ever. And as we were just talking about with Jay, Luis Arraez, is he going to get there? Like, you know what I mean? It hasn't happened since 1941. And there was something that Jay said in there that I was going to jump in, but, you know, we were limited on time and stuff when we spoke. And he said, well, you know, it doesn't really bring that much or mean that much about, like, Arraez and all the singles. And I don't know, I'm thinking, what, a guy that's hitting 400 doesn't help a baseball team? Like, these analytics guys, I love Jay Jaffe, but these analytics guys, like, that's the modern baseball. When you see these teams and they can't situationally hit, whatever, it's not their fault. The team doesn't even want them to situationally hit. Like, basically, it's sort of like the long to the mid-range jumper. I guess that's the best way of putting it. Like, the modern analytic baseball guy doesn't think that three singles scores or that the three singles only gets a run. It's not enough. Like, they'd rather, instead of like a double and two singles, they'd rather a home run. To me, that's just, I don't know. I don't think like that. I'll take a guy that's hitting 400 on my team any day. But can he get there? Probably not. But let's see. You know, pretty impressive. He gets into July lingering. After tonight, he went 1-for-5 tonight. Loser. 1-for-5 only. Come on, man. But he's hitting 396 as of right now. So he lost 3 percentage points. He was at 399. The thing is, though, he dipped to 378, and people thought, all right, this is where it happens. And then, boom, he popped it right back up. I think it'd be a great story. And to me, it's cooler to me that someone who would not hit, like, no one's hit 400 since 1941, than someone hitting a bunch of home runs in a modern era when everyone hits home runs. Other than that, you're on your own. Later.